So welcome along to the next introduction, outline of the Book of Numbers. As always, we're trying to do this as a short guide or a short introduction to the Book of Numbers, or maybe even a reflection for you. You might have got through it by now, and so you're just picking this up and trying to maybe compare what often useful as we go through the Book of Numbers, or as you look to go through the Book of Numbers. We use our Interpreter's Bible, we use the ESV Study Bible. You might use other commentaries to delve into parts of it that are maybe of more interest to you. I've sought to do that a little bit through our recaps, and so there's always that chance in the recaps, which just ticks roughly every 2 weeks and looks at one of the themes that have cropped up or one of the passages that have cropped up, and we try to delve a little bit more deeply into that. And so you'll be able to see and to hear some of those as we go through. But this outline is a brief introduction to the book. You can, the likes of the Study Bible gives you good options this, so you maybe are going through these in your own. The Interpreter's Bible, which I use, is a slightly different, so it would be a bit more detailed in terms of it gets a bit more down into the authorship, and maybe an extended version of what any Study Bible would do. But also today we're starting to use, and it's probably something, I just happened to find this on my bookshelf. It was hidden behind a picture, actually. I had a picture propped up against my bookshelf, and this was behind it, and I'd forgotten about it, which is the stone edition of the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew Bible. And so it does the same thing, and this is the kind of compact stone edition. And it, the Hebrew Bible, essentially the same as our Old Testament Bible. Interestingly, they're in slightly different order in terms of the ways the books come, and some of the books put together, so the likes of Samuel, Kings are put into one book rather than our Old Testament, which is 1 and 2 Samuel, or 1 and 2 Kings, etc. We'll go into that maybe in a little bit more detail if you're interested, or if you'd like to know a little bit more about that, you can let me know. We'll do an episode on that. A slightly different order, but it gives us a bit of an introduction to each of them as well, and so we'll touch on a little bit of what it says around the Book of Numbers. Numbers is a kind of strange title. It's the only one, and let me get this right, it's the only one of the five books in the Pentateuch which is known by the Greek title. The Hebrew, and I'll not pronounce the Hebrew, but the Hebrew word is actually in the wilderness or in the desert, which it symbolizes maybe as you're reading through it. That's a big theme in this book, in the wilderness, and where the people are in the wilderness for this, in the desert for this time. But the Greek is used as this title of Numbers, which is all about the census that's taken. And so at the beginning of the Book of Numbers, there's this census, and that's why it's known as that way. But it hasn't just popped up in that nice particular order as the fourth book in the Pentateuch, the Torah, the Hebrew Torah. We've actually, if you've noticed as we've gone through it, started as early as day 41 and maybe even a little bit before, but we really see a good chunk of it in day 41, where as we get to the end of the book of Exodus, around chapter 38, and the beginnings of the tabernacle of God's dwelling amongst his people and the role of the tribe of Levi, Numbers comes in there in a big way for a couple of days, where a number of those chapters at the beginning of Numbers 3, 10, 8 and 10 as well, around the role and responsibilities of the tribe of Levi, the priests, there's actually that big chunk there alongside the Exodus where those are overlapping. And then we go back into the book of Leviticus, and it's a bit of a kind of straight run through the book of Leviticus. And interestingly, there are some commentators who look at this Torah. We're going to do a special episode in the Pentateuch as an overall and looking how those five books put together. But there are some suggestions that this overlapping or duplication of material towards the end of Exodus and the beginning of Numbers is all because, if you think of the five books like a pyramid or like a kind of sandwich in a weird way, Genesis and Deuteronomy are the kind of end portions, and they say the main part, the middle of that Hebrew Torah, is the book of Leviticus, where the people are given those laws, and we've talked that introduction and outline to the book of Leviticus. And everything is towards that. And so imagine the top of a pyramid as a triangle as you go up. Leviticus is that high point, the culmination of all that God's looking to do through the Torah. And Exodus is on the way up to the peak, and Numbers is on the way down. And so there are some similarities in those, whereas in this Numbers, in this way back down, it relates Israel's journey from Mount Sinai to the borders of the Promised Land. They suggest that Exodus is the story from oppression from Egypt to Mount Sinai. Leviticus is all that's given at Mount Sinai, and then Numbers is this journey from Mount Sinai to the borders of the Promised Land, as the ESV says, summarizing some 40 years of the nation's history. The book begins with Israel making final preparations to leave Sinai, and then records their triumphal setting out before relating a series of disasters, and we've seen that as we've gone through the book, of Israel making disasters when the people grumble about the difficulty of the journey and the impossibility of conquering Canaan. We'll go into that in the next book. This response leads to God delaying the entry to the Promised Land by 40 years. The closing chapters of the book tell how the people at last set out again and reached the banks of the Jordan, poised to cross into the Promised Land to their forefathers. The International Interpreter's Bible says there are kind of three parts. Part one at Sinai, where the census at Sinai and the numbering at Sinai, the march from Sinai then to the desert, to the edge, to Paran, the edge of the Promised Land. Part two is the story of the spies and the laws and the rebellions that happen there. And then part three is in Moab and the story of Balaam and Balak, which is an odd one. Interesting story about a donkey. I think that's what we look at the recap. And then the various incidents that happen around that. And so there are kind of those three chunks that the Interpreter's Bible sets up about it. If we read the Stone Edition of the Tanakh, very interesting in how they see it as a people looking at their own perspective and their own history and identity. The Stone Edition says, "The Book of Numbers begins and ends with Israel on the verge of entering its land. But the 38 intervening years of wandering in the wilderness were a low point in Jewish history. This book contains the episodes of the spies who poisoned the minds of the people, the rebellion of Korah and his assembly, and the error of Moses and Aaron that cost them the privilege of entering the land. But it also ends with the first step in the conquest of the land of Israel." In Talmudic and rabbinic literature, the book is known as Shumash HaPekudim, the Book of Numbers, because one of its major themes is the census of the people. At its outsets, the members of the tribes were counted individually as every Jew passed in front of Moses and Aaron and presented proof of his tribal descent. What an awesome experience it must have been for even the humblest Jew to stand before his two leaders, the greatest prophet who ever lived and God's holy servant, to identify himself and to receive their blessing and guidance. Rashi notes at the beginning of the book that God counted the nation at every significant turn because he loves it, the nation not just counting. So too the fact that the people were counted as individuals proves the infinite worth of every Jew. Certainly it would have been easier and quicker to count the people en masse, and that would have been the proper course if all that mattered was sheer numbers. But that would have caused the individual to be an insignificant member of the total community, and it would have obscured his personal responsibility to grow and contribute. Each tribe had its own uniqueness to contribute to the national well-being, and each individual was precious in his own right. True, this book tells how the nation slid and an entire generation had to remain in the wilderness and expire. But their children emerged strong and courageous, still gathered around the tabernacle and ready to claim its destiny as the heirs to the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Once counted, the tribes were arrayed around the tabernacle, demonstrating that the presence of God was their rallying point, the central focus of the nation then and always. For Jews are a nation by virtue of the Torah, it was their raison d'etre. By accepting it, they became a people, and by following it, they remain a people. There in the wilderness, the people were to encamp around the tabernacle, which contained the tablets of the law, and march with it wherever God led them. That motif of Jewish nationhood would continue throughout its history. And so there's a great deal of this history, and that's the Stone Edition tells us a little bit about that, about the identity and the history and how every individual was numbered, every individual was valuable, was treasured by God, and also then the tabernacle by them and their reason for being, their reason to contribute, their reason to follow. It wasn't just something that it was for the priests and the people just had to kind of adhere to. Everyone was involved and everyone was a part of it. And everyone then in the midst of those rebellions, and that's why often Moses and Aaron fall down before God, they fall face down to try and atone for the people, to try and mediate on their behalf, and to try and do essentially what those people couldn't do for themselves. It's an interesting book. It's not just about the numbers. It's not just about the rebellion, but it's about how God uses his people and how God values his people. And by the time they get to that edge of that promised land, we'll see in Deuteronomy what becomes of them and what happens to them. But that's a little bit of outline of the book of Numbers. It's part of their journey. It's part of their being as they go. It highlights the rebellion. It highlights how much God values holiness in the midst of his people. He wasn't just going to let anyone in. And even as we see by Moses and Aaron and the rebellion, there are a series of rebellions. It's not just the people, it's the leaders, and how God, as they enter into the promised land, isn't just going to let anyone in and isn't just a kind of free for all, but demands something of his people and demands a holiness, as he says, "For I, your Lord, am holy." He demands a certain response from them, and these people continually fail and fall. And so that wandering in the wilderness, this numbers about the census, and we see that by the time the census comes at the end, there are none left of that previous generation who had rebelled, who had listened to those who came back about the spies, but in fact they had been wiped out, or they had departed, and so it was their ancestors. And interestingly, that holds up for good reasons, but obviously as those ancestors and as those people pass through, we'll see again what happens to his people as they enter into the promised land. Numbers, a book about census, but also maybe the better understanding is to use that Hebrew word of in the desert, in the wilderness, and the people as they walk through it and journey not only from geographical place to geographical place, but the journey throughout their history around the tabernacle and seeing and knowing the impact of God and the focus of God and the value God placed on them as they did that. There's the outline of Numbers, and next time we'll move on to Deuteronomy as we continue through the Bible in a year. Grace and peace.